So I stopped by Starbucks on the way to work last week. As I was coming up that way from Klein High School, I noticed the gym that is over there had a big sign out front advertising discounted memberships this month. So if you've been looking for a gym in January, there you go. They're having a discount over there. And I want you to know I don't get any kickbacks for saying that to you this morning. But I mentioned that because I don't think any of us are surprised to see that in January, right? That a local gym would be offering discount memberships because it's January, right? And some folks, maybe some of us, have stepped on the scale and noticed that the holidays were not good to our waistline. And so we thought, well, I need to get into better shape. And so maybe a gym membership has been on your hearts. It's interesting that during this season of resolutions, you know what statistically is the number one resolutions people make for those who do that at the beginning of the year? Yeah, they say, I'm going to lose more weight. And if you go on down that list, 3 and 4 are like eat better and exercise more. And so it's no surprise to see the local gyms trying to draw people in. The other thing that's going on as we try to come up with this new version of ourselves is the fact that we know for that to happen, we have to do something. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I just wish I could go to bed at night and say, man, I want to be a new person in the morning. And you wake up and you're just the same, right? You don't lose weight by sleeping on it overnight. You got to do something about that. You got to move more, right? So I got to get out of my chair and I got to walk a little bit in the evening, or I got to get up earlier and I got to go to the gym and work out some. And I wish it stopped there because I don't mind exercising. I've been running 33 years. I'm okay with that. But you know, that's not enough, especially as we get older, because then they say, yeah, you got to eat right too, which means less Whataburger, more kale. I just said Whataburger because Hunter ate Whataburger this week, and I thought I'd take a shot at him this morning since I pick on Jeff so much. But yeah, and take a shot at kale too, right? It isn't just going to happen. We got to exercise more and eat better and all that stuff. And so in January, people buy treadmills and gym memberships. But there's something else I think that we all understand about that. Because it's Sunday morning and we're here in this church building. And that is, I think we understand that there's actually limited value to this effort to improve the outer man. Now listen, I am in favor of that. I think it's good to be healthy and take care of yourself. I think if nothing else, it's likely to diminish suffering through life, which is a good thing, right? I think we'll feel better, live better, if we take better care of ourselves. But the truth is, there is also a sense in which that is a futile endeavor, right? Because as we make our ways through life, brothers and sisters, as hard as we work to get better on the outside, the physical man, we're not. That we make our way through life inhabiting this body that year by year by year is declining, and it will continue declining until we die. That is not pessimism. That is not a dark view of life. That is life as we know it here. The human body is gradually dying day by day. And so whatever improvements I make to it, there is a limit to what that can do, which is why it is so much more important to focus inwardly. I'm not saying ignore the outside. I'm just saying that's at best of secondary importance. What really matters is that it develop the inner man and the spiritual man. That's why you're sitting in a church building this morning, right? Because we're concerned about things like that. But the point I'd like to make about that is that developing the inner man is kind of like developing the outer man as well. You got to do some things. You can't just go to bed at night and say, tomorrow I'd like to wake up and be spiritually stronger. No, you got to work at it a bit. In fact, I was really tempted. Jeff, I was really tempted to go back to Colossians 1. Because that passage he took us to last week, Colossians 1, beginning at verse 9. If you work through that text, there are actually several things there that we learned that we can do to make ourselves spiritually stronger. But since Jeff worked Colossians 1 last week a little bit, I chose instead to go to Acts 2 today. Will you join me there in your Bible? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And I want to read a little bit at the end of the chapter this morning, and here's my reason. At the end of Acts 2, Luke paints this beautiful picture of this early group of disciples. And I think if we'll pay attention to the picture, we'll see some things there, some things that are needed for people to be spiritually healthy. These disciples were doing that. And I want you to see that with me. So I'm in Acts 2, and I'm going to run down. Let's start at verse 41. That's a good spot. Acts 2, verse 41. Here's what Luke says. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So there's our starting point with these 3,000 Christians who made up that first group of disciples in Jerusalem. Now here's the picture, beginning of verse 42. They were all continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all of those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I just think the picture that is painted here is rich. It's one that we just need to pause over and ponder. And I want you to do that with me this morning and notice some things that are in this picture that I think contributed to building their spiritual strength. For example, I noticed first when I read this text that there was teaching going on. Do you see that too? It's one of the first things that is said in verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Jeff, that made me think back of Colossians 1 in verse 9, where he took us last week, where Paul wanted the Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's the same idea, brothers and sisters. The word is our spiritual food. It is how we are nourished in a very practical way. It is how we grow and mature and mold ourselves in the image of Jesus. We are able to do that as we partake of the word. That's what they were doing to be healthy. And so it comes back to eating again, doesn't it? We just can't get away with that. You got to eat right to be physically strong, but you got to eat right to be spiritually strong. And we see that among these early disciples. And then going back to verse 42, you notice it describes how they prayed together, which is kind of the other half of the communication process. God speaks to us through his word, and then we speak to him as we pour out our hearts in prayer and praise him and seek his help and offer up our thanksgiving and grieve before him because of our sins. There's something else that I think that happens. It's not just this ritual exercise we go through. I think as we do all that before God and to God, it enriches our relationship with him. It gives us this sense that he is there and that he's listening. It reminds us of that and draws us, I think, even closer to him. And then I go back to this picture and I notice that they worship. Do you see that too? Down in verse 46, it talks about them gathering in the temple. And I'm wondering if they came together in the temple and did some of those things that verse 42 is talking about. That's where teaching took place. That's where they shared the Lord's Supper together. I think that's the breaking of bread in 42. They're sharing the Lord's Supper just as we've done this morning. They're coming together and they are worshiping, which I think carries a dual blessing. One of the great things about gathering and praising God and getting back to His Word is that it reminds us that God is there, and it helps us connect with Him, remember who He is and what He has done, and to learn more about His expectations. But I think in the same way, it connects us together with each other. Will you look around this room this morning? You are in a place today surrounded by people who are taking the same path and waging the same struggles and trying to do the same thing. And so it draws us closer to God, but also binds us together. Okay, this is an aside. We need this. Jeff and I didn't collaborate today, but I was happy about you tucking in Hebrews 10. In there. To a group of struggling disciples, the Hebrews writer exhorts them not to forsake gathering together. That was imported to the Holy Spirit, so much so that Scripture rehearses it again and again. May I suggest, brothers and sisters, it needs to be equally important to us. These gatherings need to be valuable. So that this can be a little bit fun, where are you going to be at 5? Because we'll gather again. And we'll praise Him. And we'll be in His book, eating. Where are you going to be? The other thing, when I go back to this picture in Acts 2 that I see, is I see family. That's my word. That word's not used in the text. But I wonder, when you look at that picture, do you see family too? The text describes how these people cared about each other and they were to gather. And not just formal gatherings for teaching and partaking of the Lord's Supper. Of all the things we could be told about the early disciples, isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit thought it was important to stay and they got together and ate with each other and were happy about it? It wasn't obligatory. They weren't just going through a required exercise. They wanted to be with each other. There was sacrificial giving going on. Why didn't you guys tell me I wasn't clicking my slides? Because I have all those words, right? There they are. I'm getting so caught up in what I'm saying, I don't even remember I've got slides behind me. You get the sense that these were not just people whose paths crossed for an hour or two on Sunday, but that they genuinely cared about each other and had close relationships with each other, which extended throughout the week and in each other's homes. They were family, which again, as we described a minute ago, carried that added blessing of helping and encouraging each other as they made the journey together. It just so happens that a week ago, I was watching a video on YouTube about this guy who had hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, which is a multi-day, rather rigorous hike. And he was in this YouTube video telling the story of what he had done. But he added this detail to his story. He said, as I went along on this hike, he had gone by himself. He said, I encountered some other people who were doing the same thing. And so we decided we would just join up and hike together, just people he'd met on the trail. And he said, as we did that, we would stop and we would begin camping at the same spot and talking to each other and getting to know each other. And then we would encounter these rough places and we'd help each other. We'd help each other get over the water and things like that. And he said, we really got to be close as we made this journey together. He said, in fact, some of these people have kind of become like family to me. We still talk and interact, spend time together, even though we finished the hike a long time ago. You see how that happens? That's what we are to each other. Coming together on this journey we're taking, and as we endure the rigors of the travel, it pulls us together and it makes us a family. So much more than people whose paths happen to cross on Sunday. If that's all that is to me, I'm not doing it right. That isn't what God intended. And then I threw this one in. I had to change my slide because this just occurred to me as I was thinking about this over the weekend. At the very end, I see work. Do you see that too? Well, actually, what we see is the outcome of the work. It says the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved. And so you got to press on through the letter to see how that happened. And what we learned is that they're actually out there sharing the gospel with other people. So they've come together and they're doing the work of God together, which is increasing the kingdom. There's work to be done. We need to be involved in that too. So as we look at the picture of this first gathering of disciples, I think there are things here. Maybe you could see some that I didn't see. But things that they did that served to strengthen the inner spiritual men. I wanted you to think with me about that because I think we need that too. I know that some of you are already thinking about spiritual renewal here at the first of the year because you talked to me about it. Talk to me about some of the things that you're working on. And if that's what you're interested in, if you've kind of been doing some assessment here at the beginning of the year and say, listen, I don't just want to work on the outer man and strengthen the body, which is dying. That's kind of futile. I want to work on my inner man. These are the kinds of things that we need to do to make the inner man strong. I wanted to share that with you this morning because I wanted that thought from Acts to be foundational for us. Because this morning, I want us to think about what we're going to read together this year and what's going to be our congregational focus. But I began here in Acts 2 because I wanted you to know why we do that. It isn't just sort of a church gimmick every year. Underneath that are these vital purposes that bring us together as a family coming together and doing things that will strengthen the inner man, the spiritual man, the disciplines that make a follower of Jesus strong. When we talk about our reading every year and we talk about our focus every year, it is to help us strengthen the inner man. And so I want to say a word or two this morning about what our plan is to read together as a family in 2023. We have chosen this year to read the letters of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. In fact, we've entitled the reading A Year with Paul, because we plan to spend a year just kind of going through his letters. Our reading will be a little different this year than we typically do. Well, the last couple of years, we've just been reading a chapter a week, right? An immersion read where we pause and think deeply about a specific chapter of Scripture. Same kind of idea, except what we're going to do is we're going to focus on a month of time and take one of these letters and read one letter each month just to immerse ourselves in it. And I know you math people are already working on that. You're thinking, that's not going to work. 13 letters, 12 months. So we'll do 1st and 2nd Thessalonians together, right? We'll get it all in the course of 2023. We've created a schedule with that. When you go out this morning, there's going to be a young man at the door you exit. He's going to be holding the reading guide. I hope every person will go home with one of those this morning. Now, let me say a little bit more about the reading. The readings are arranged chronologically. In other words, the goal was to begin with the first letter that Paul wrote, end with the last one in the collection. At least let me say this. This is Jeff's theory on the chronological orders of the letter. That is me throwing Jeff under the bus. If you disagree, there he is right there. You can skip me and go right to him. But there's a reason we're doing that. As we read the letters, we want to tie them to their historical setting, which I think is so very important when you study them. These letters were written when Paul was in a specific situation, or the audience that he's writing to had specific needs. And to the degree we can kind of tie those with Acts and understand the background, I think we'll understand the letter better. So I would encourage you over the course of the month, we'll start with the book of Galatians here in January. Read Galatians over and over again all month long. But at least one time, sit down and read the whole thing all the way through in one sitting. We don't usually do that, right? We tend to break them down into chapter divisions, which Jeff would say, is there any chapter division you like? Not many, no. But I think that's not how we typically read letters, is it? You get a letter and you read the first paragraph and say, okay, I'll put the rest of this aside till tomorrow. You get a letter and you read the whole thing and it's important, so you get the whole picture. I did that with Titus for last year when we were working in that book a little bit. And wow, it just reads differently when you get the whole thing in. Now, Galatians is going to be easy. Philemon, that's going to be a breeze. 1 Corinthians, it'll take more of an investment, but it'll be an investment that is worth your time. And do it throughout the rest of the month, however you want to break it down. A chapter a day, a couple of chapters. Read it as you wish. But the point is to be in the letter every single day. I would also urge you, as we've done every year, to do the Bible reading in some different translations. That's one of the things I love about Bible apps, is that often you get an option of reading Scripture in a different translation. I know Hunter and I were working Galatians this week. We talked a little about that. He came back one morning and said, oh, you know, I read it in this other translation. Very helpful. Saw some things that I didn't appreciate before. So I'd encourage you to keep doing that. Also mentioned that Jeff and I are going to continue podcasting weekly about the reading. We'll try to cover some different things week by week. Setting first, so you'll understand the background of the letter. Then big picture overview of the second week, what's going on in the letter. Third week, we'll try to tackle some things that we think is hard stuff. It'd be a lot better if you would email us and say, I'm reading and I don't understand this. Would you talk about that in week three? We'll try to address things that may be tripping you up in the reading. And then week four, we'll talk a little bit about applications and how the letter can speak to us as well, and anything else that you give us along the way. We'll be happy to throw that into the podcast. We're working on the podcasting game this year. Really going to try to up that. Not just with the Bible reading. We're going to be doing some other podcasting as well. We've got a series planned for early this year that we're going to entitle Bible Passages That Will Destroy Your Faith. Yeah, that's kind of interesting, right? But there are some places in the Bible that people read and don't understand. In fact, places that just seem wrong and trip people up and can be destabilizing to their faith. And we're going to try to tackle some of those tough places, podcast that a little bit. What you can do to help us with that is you can watch and you can share on your social media accounts. Share the work we're doing with other places that they would get some benefit from that as well. Sometimes we get this question, so I'll just settle it now. Where can you find all of that? Right there on the website, right? You do know how to get to the website. We actually have a tab, thank you, Brian, that says Bible reading. If you want to get the Bible reading data, you can go right there and grab that information. We'll shoot the first one today, so it will be up this coming week. Also, be watching the sermons for the letters. I'm not promising we're going to preach all month on Galatians in January, but I suspect Galatians is going to find its way in, especially thinking about some of the applications we can make of the letter. And again, we're open to your feedback about that. Randy's going to keep helping us. We appreciate you blessing us with your reading guides along the way. That will be in the bulletin every week, so I'd encourage you to check that out as Randy keeps helping us with that. I hope you'll do the reading. I hope we will do this together One of the things that early disciples did is they were continually consumed with the teaching of His Word. I hope that will consume us this year as we read the letters of Paul together. And I think doing that, hearing from God in these letters, obviously that's important all of the time. I think especially important in this time in which we are living. I read an article last week about one of the major denominational religious bodies in this country that candidly, brothers and sisters, is literally coming apart at the seams. This particular article was about Georgia and this denomination's trouble in Georgia, where some of the churches are literally wanting to disassociate and pull themselves away from this bigger denominational body, and some within the body are fighting that, trying to prevent them to do it. So think about that. Breakaway churches getting away from the mainline group and fights to make them stay in. It's really brutal and ugly. But do you know what is at the heart of that? They're battling over where the group is going to stand on homosexuality. There's enormous pressure from liberal groups within this body who are pressing for accepting openly gay men and women as pastors and for churches to host gay wedding ceremonies. And there are others within this denominational body who are arguing that isn't what God said about that. And by the way, they're right about that. God taught that this is a sin, and you're asking us to sanction sin. We can't go along with that anymore. And this huge religious denomination is literally coming apart at the seams. And they are not alone. As culture's thinking on this moral question is shifting and the majority embraces it, the pressure mounts on churches to follow, and many are. As culture moves away from God, there's growing pressure on religious groups to conform. And so, saying what God says on this issue carries a price tag in our culture today. It becomes more and more difficult. We see that, and on a host of other issues. What we do not always appreciate, brethren, is that we are not immune from that problem. Even among our brothers and sisters, you need to know that there are voices that say things that are different than what God says. You heard Jeff and I talk about that in the fall. We did two text talks specifically to respond to a brother in Christ who had gotten on social media claiming that addiction to pornography justified the putting away of one's spouse. That is saying what God did not say, brothers and sisters, about divorce. And that's not the only thing. We've got brothers claiming that today there are supernatural manifestations of the work of the Holy Spirit, questioning how we have traditionally understood how God speaks to us in the Bible and established biblical authority, that old kind of thinking is out of date, and we need a new way of understanding all of that. Listen, brothers and sisters, we are living in a time where it is vital that we be discerning. And let me be clear, that begins with this pulpit and the guy standing in front of you this morning. And anybody else that stands up here, if it's me, or Jeff, or Hunter, or Randy, one of the elders, whoever. We are all subject to the same standard. What we say must be measured and tested by God and His Word. But you know, after COVID hit, a lot of folks began going online and discovering there's all kinds of content out there, other places, other preachers, videos, and podcasts. What I'm saying to you this morning is we need to be just as discerning about those things too. Just as because it's some good brother who's a great speaker with a popular podcast does not mean what's coming out of his mouth is true. It's only true if it agrees with what God said. Are you with me on that? Thank you for the response this morning. I'm glad we believe the same thing about that. So we need to be discerning, but we need to be something else. We need to be people who are first and foremost hearing from God. Before you listen to a podcast or listen to somebody's sermon online, for that matter, before you read a religious book, read his book more and before anything else. So reading the letters of Paul give us an opportunity to do this. Remember, he's writing by inspiration, which means although he penned the words, it is God who is speaking in these letters. And so, I want you to think about this. As we read the letters of Paul, what's really happening is God is speaking to his people. Do you see that? In fact, that's what we've adopted as our theme this year. As we read the letters, recognize that in the letters, God is speaking to us. We are hearing from him. And while I know that these letters were first and foremost addressed to churches and individuals in that time, it had a message for them. Once we figure out what that message is, I think, brothers and sisters, we're going to discover that it has something for us too, which is why the Spirit has preserved this for us. It would be good to bear in mind that these letters are addressed to people who are trying to do the same thing that we're trying to do and beset with the same struggles in their execution of that. These are people who are trying to be molded in the image of Jesus. And as they did that, they had to battle culture in all kinds of different ways. There was the problem of opposition and persecution, culture who pushed back and didn't want to hear the truth. And then there was the opposite problem of a corrupt culture trying to lure away God's people and pull them into that awful mess. They had to fight that battle too. And they had to battle not to hide their lights, put their lampstand under a basket, as Jesus would describe it, but to let our light shine in a corrupt world that doesn't want to hear the message. They were surrounded like we are by false religion and threatened by that lure. They had to deal with false teachers even among themselves. That is Paul's warning to the Ephesian elders in the book of Acts. From among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things and draw away disciples after them. You see, they had to deal with that struggle too. And wait till we get to 1 Corinthians and watch them fight with each other. Y'all realize they had trouble getting along with each other in the New Testament? It's like sometimes we struggle to get along with each other as well. Does any of that sound familiar? The details are going to be different, but I promise you, the fundamentals are the same. Disciples down through time in every generation are essentially waging the same struggle over and over again. And so when we read these letters, we'll see our needs. We'll see our struggles. We will find ourselves here. And as we do, recognize that God is speaking. He's talking to us about what to do with all of this. He's guiding us through our struggles. I would remind you that Bible reading is never intended to be just a mental exercise. We're not just adding files to the hard drive. Bible reading is intended to be a dynamic, life-changing experience every time we go to the Word. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope that's what will happen to me and you this year, that we won't just get to the end of December of 2023 and say, well, we read through the letters of Paul. What's more important is to go away saying, I was changed by God's words in these letters. It helped me understand His will better. It formed me better in the image of His Son. It helped me get along with my brothers and sisters. It made me more effective in His work. I was changed this year because I heard God as He spoke about the things I'm wrestling with. I hope that we will be blessed in 2023 as we spend a year with Paul. Let's pray about that. Jeff, come up and lead us.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask your blessings upon this congregation, its members, in this coming year, as we seek to humbly and fearfully and respectfully let you speak to us through us, particularly these letters that your servant, the Apostle Paul, wrote, not just for the first century, but for every people of every century until your Son returns. And Father, may we, as we read and wrestle and struggle and are challenged by these letters, may we humbly open our hearts and allow you to do the changes in the work upon us that you need to do so that we can be more holy and more righteous and more nearly conformed to the image of your Son, which is the goal of our life in this world. Father, we pray that we will be mindful as we read the apostle and we hear things that are difficult to hear, that we don't want to hear, as he and you through him meddle in our lives and find the places of sin that we have coddled, the worldliness that we still cherish, the desires that are not yet conformed to your will, that we will be willing to sacrifice all of it upon the altar of our own self-sacrifices, living sacrifices, a phrase that your servant Paul himself introduced to us. Father, we pray that we'll be mindful as we read these letters, that your apostle then was taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, his teachings, and applying them to a culture and a world that was utterly hostile to you and your ways. May we be mindful of how much our world resembles the world in which Paul wrote. May we be willing to not just be challenged about ourselves, but may we have our eyes opened so that we, like Paul, see the world around us the way you see it. And may that shock and the disturbedness of that realization of having our eyes open to how fallen this world is, may it also motivate us in our evangelism. May it motivate us to more urgently and earnestly seek to tell others within our sphere of influence the truth about you and about who they are, about Jesus and his work, and about the staggering consequences for continued disobedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but who, before whom in the last day, as again Paul has taught us, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Father, be with us this year. Bless our efforts to be your people in this place as we listen to your word through your inspired apostle. We ask this prayer and for your help, aid, and blessing in Jesus' name, and amen.
There's no way that I can know the needs of the folks sitting in the crowd today. Maybe some of you will just appreciate the encouragement and the opportunity to continue the journey as you have been for years and years and years. If this will help do that in some way, then that's great. Hope you'll be encouraged in it. But I'm wondering too, surely in a crowd this size, there are some folks who've said, I need a reset. I need to begin again. I've not been walking the walk. I've let things distract me. I've been pulled away by the culture. I'm not where I need to be. And so I need to reset. I need to begin again. Can I remind you of the picture in Acts 2 that you're among family today? That's one of the reasons we've come together. We want you to travel with us. And part of traveling together is helping each other along the way. So if you want to lay that in front of the group this morning and acknowledge your need and ask for help, more than anything, we want to help you with that. And this is a group I know it's going to surround you and encourage you and help you with that. But maybe in the crowd someone hasn't even begun the journey yet because you've not decided about Jesus. In fact, maybe you don't even really know where you're going. You're just sort of muddling through life without any direction because you haven't settled on a path. And today you need to confess your belief in Jesus Christ and decide once for all, I'm making the journey with him and with all of you. We would love to hear your confession today. And we'd love to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. And we'd love to celebrate with heaven. I don't know what your need is, but I can promise you this family wants to help you. Here's what you need to do. We're going to sing this song. You just need to come on down here to the front. Whatever your need, God is ready for you. As his people, we will help you. So if that's your need, come on down right now while we stand, while we sing together.